Has our calendar been intentionally changed to prevent us from knowing future events? Next on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Centuries have come and gone, offering wisdom and understanding throughout the ages. Today, there should be nothing beyond one's power to discover. And yet the strange, unusual, and mysterious world of the supernatural defies understanding. Stay tuned for a unique and powerful investigation into a curious, undiscovered universe only on It's Supernatural.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter here with Rabbi Michael Rood. Now, Rabbi Rood, what are you wearing?
Well, Sid, I am wearing a tallit. This is traditionally what was worn before a prayer shawl became a prayer shawl. It was literally a four-cornered garment that was worn over the jalabiyah, in which, as we were commanded at Mount Sinai, on the corner of our garment, to put a fringe of sky blue wool thread, and that was to remind us to always to keep the commandments of God. And
this I'm told that many Orthodox rabbis don't have the blue because they don't know the exact shade.
That is true. The reason why there have been the tzitzit have been done for now many, many years without the blue thread is because they could not find the particular blue. But in the 1980s, the Hilazon shellfish from which the original blue dye was done, and this has been proven by the scholars and rabbis in Jerusalem, they have found it again. It has come back from extinction, basically. They had no idea where to find it, but it was been found, and now we are able to bring back the original blue. And the significance of this, Sid, is that this blue is representative and the color of the floor of the throne room of God. And that's why, as we look upon it, it always reminds us to keep God's commandments, even though we don't see him. It reminds us that we are always in his presence.
Do you think it's just a colossal coincidence that after all of these years, these snails just happen to materialize from nowhere, and they just happen to get the dye for the tallit?
There are so many things that are happening right now, Sid, in the land of Israel since we came back in 1948, became a nation in one day, and now things that were listed and given to us in the scriptures, instructions given to us, have been now coming about in the last days. And in fact, this is one of the things that keeps me over in the land of Israel quite a bit, is because of the different archaeological finds in the land of Israel that substantiate, that prove that the biblical record is correct. What the problem has been is that archaeologists have been looking in places where the Bible did not say these things took place, and they looked in other places, none able to find them, so they said they didn't take place. But now, when we go by what the biblical record, the ancient Hebrew scriptures said where it took place, we look there, and this is exactly what we find, and that is much the case with such as the recent finding of the city of Gomorrah.
You know, speaking of that, you have over here something that I should actually be in fear and trembling to even touch. Would you explain what this is?
Well, Sid, this right here is a piece of brimstone that was recovered from the city of Gomorrah.
Now, for those that aren't familiar, what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah, and why did it happen?
At Sodom and Gomorrah, it says in the book of Genesis that God rained fire and brimstone down from heaven onto the cities of the plains, which were in total Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, and Zeboim, and he incinerated them, and as it says in Deuteronomy, nothing remains there except for brimstone, salt, and ashes, and nothing grows there. And what appeared to be distant rock formations out in the middle of the Israeli desert, turns out that the entire city of Gomorrah has been found, still intact, still standing. But it has been incinerated, turned to pure ash.
Just like the Bible says.
Just like the scripture says, and it is covered with millions of chunks of brimstone. This, Sid, is 95.72% pure sulfur, three other trace metals in it. If we were to touch a match to it, it would immediately be consumed in a black oozing mass with purple flames. It will melt stainless steel. And this is exactly what rained down out of the city, onto the cities of the plains. And this is what Peter, in the New Testament, Simon Peter said, that the remains of Sodom and Gomorrah stand as an ensample, which in the original is a visible example of the righteous judgment of God. And so in order for it to be a visible example in Peter's day, it would have to be not in the bottom of the Dead Sea. It would have to be in the area of the plain, and that's exactly where it's found, right where the scripture indicated. And so he went on to say that this is a testimony for the last days that God is the righteous judge, and that God will judge those who decide to live a wicked and a sinful life. But it is also a testimony in the last days that God is able to deliver the righteous in the day of judgment.
But Michael, let me...
So it's good news to you, it's bad news to those who decide to live an ungodly life.
It actually comes off, it's almost like chalk, it comes off on your fingers. But imagine holding this that Peter said would be a witness to the last days just happened to have been found. The snails just happened to come out of the ocean to have that die. What about the temple itself? We can't, the Bible says we will have a temple, but we can't have a temple till we have the Ark of the Covenant. What do you hear about the Ark of the Covenant?
Well, the Ark of the Covenant is an issue that I've been involved with over in the land of Israel for several years now. And there's been a lot of disinformation that has come out of Israel and the Department of Antiquities concerning the Ark of the Covenant, but it was just this last fall, just a couple of weeks before September 13th of 2000, which was the target date for Israel to have turned over East Jerusalem to the Palestinians and part of the Temple Mount area. And it was at that time that the Israeli government sent a gentleman over to the States and on nationwide radio announced that the Israeli government has the Ark of the Covenant. They know where it is. It is in an obscure cave in the Temple Mount, and it will be coming out soon. Now, what he said has long been denied and really disinformation spread out about this, but this is what has taken us to the land of Israel in working with the Temple Treasures Institute for several years now. Because we were aware, and I know personally, the archaeologist that was involved in the excavation and finding the Ark of the Covenant, and also involved with several of the people that were involved in the disinformation that was spread about it in order to keep it quiet.
So you believe that we have the Ark of the Covenant and it's just waiting for the building?
Absolutely. The Ark of the Covenant has been found, and part of what we have been working on is that when the excavation was done up on the Temple Mount a while back, that is when the southern foundation of Solomon's Temple was found at that point. We knew where the northern foundation was, and at that point, we knew that that huge stone, which is underneath the Dome of the Spirit, sits in the middle of the original Holy of Holies of Solomon's Temple, and with the rest of the excavation that was done, we were able to uncover the rest of the details concerning that huge stone, which is in fact, Sid, the top of a sand hydraulic stone elevator system that was built in the Holy of Holies in order to hide the Ark of the Covenant in the time
of
the siege.
How could they build something like that back then?
Well, this was built, remember, by Solomon, who was not only the wisest man in the world, but it says that Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now, that affinity is an agreement that has to be kept within the family, and it says in the scripture that that is why Solomon had to marry Pharaoh's daughter. The Egyptians were already masters in building with sand hydraulics and with huge stones. And so it says that Solomon built the temple and brought in Pharaoh's daughter during the entire duration of that and never let her leave the city until it was finished. We also see that there are great details given concerning the building of this.
I'll tell you what, hold that thought. And you know what I'm fascinated by? Our calendar was diabolically, demonically changed so we would not understand the times and seasons that we're living in, so we would not have the clues God's given us to what's going to happen next. I want to find out about the change and what it really means. We'll be right back after this. Hello, YouTube Mishpocha. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural. Hi, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter here with Rabbi Michael Rood, and we're talking about how our calendar has been literally tampered with. What should our calendar be?
Well, according to the modern Jewish calendar, it is the year 5761, but there is no debate among Jewish scholars that years have been subtracted from the total elapsed time calendar, and we were probably right now at the year 6000 or the year 6001, which begins the time of Jacob's trouble.
Is that why the leading rabbis in Israel have proclaimed that the times of Jacob's troubles have begun?
That's right. Just last month, they proclaimed, both Sephardic Jews and Ashkenazi rabbis together at the wall proclaimed the time of Jacob's trouble has begun, which indicates that they know how many years were subtracted from the total elapsed time calendar.
Now, for those who don't understand, what is Jacob's trouble?
Time of Jacob's trouble are the events that precede the coming of the Messiah to set up his throne, his rule and reign upon the earth, and that, of course, is the time that I'm looking forward to with great
interest. Did you hear that? And by the way, this brimstone, remember, that I have here that actually comes from Sodom and Gomorrah, Michael, it stinks. My fingers smell from this thing. That must have been an awful thing, this pouring down on people.
And from what Peter said, he wanted us to be not ignorant of just one thing concerning these last days, in which this would be a testimony, that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. In other words, when the seventh millennium comes around, that is when the shaking of the earth begins, and the Messiah will reign in that seventh millennium. But what has happened, Sid, is that even the Western Gentile Christian world has adopted a pagan calendar in which every day of the week is named after a different pagan god. Every month of the year is named after a different pagan god. Every day of the week? That's right.
Monday is named after
pagan... the moon day. Sunday, the sun god, Sol Invictus Mithra, and Ra, the Egyptian sun god, worshipped on that day. And so it is that the calendar that we have, days, weeks, months, years, and millenniums, all begin and end on completely fictitious points in time, and the entire Christian world has forsaken the biblical reckoning of time, which is clearly laid out in the Hebrew Scriptures. It's as if the hands of the clock have been stripped from the face of the clock because the times and the seasons have already been changed.
Okay. The names of the days are after pagan gods. But what about our wonderful festivals in the church? Christmas, Easter, where we commemorate great things that have happened in the history of Jesus.
That's another part, that we in the Western world have inherited renamed pagan celebrations, which again have nothing to do with the Bible, nothing to do with truth. Some of them, Sid, haven't even been renamed, such as Easter. Easter is the name of the bare-breasted goddess of fertility who came down out of heaven in this giant egg on the first Sunday after the vernal equinox. She burst out of the egg and turned a bird into an egg-laying rabbit, and thereby Easter proclaimed her divinity. And the priest of Easter back in Babylon would then impregnate virgins on the altar of Easter on Easter Sunday, and a year later would sacrifice those infants and then dip the eggs of Easter in the blood of sacrificed infants, blood red. And just a couple weeks ago on the White House lawn, they had the Easter egg roll in which tens of thousands of blood red Easter eggs were scattered all over the White House lawn in the United States. It all goes back to the slaughtering of children, the sacrifice of children, and the worshiping of pagan gods. But the Messiah, Yahshua, he fulfilled the spring feast of the Lord, which is the feast of Passover. Passover is the means by which God told the end from the beginning, and it is one of the feasts of the Lord that Israel was commanded to keep forever that actually shows how God prophesied and showed what the Messiah would fulfill when he comes.
But, you know, in the King James Bible, it actually says Easter, when it refers to that in the New Testament.
That's right. In the 12th chapter of Acts, it uses the word Easter.
Yes.
But in the original language, in the Greek in that case, it is the word Passover.
Why did they change it?
At the time that the King James translators translated the word Passover, they had been keeping the Easter celebration, the goddess of fertility memorial, for so many generations that they automatically translated it as Easter instead of Passover, because they knew nothing about and were not taught about Passover Passover and what the Messiah fulfilled as he fulfilled the Feast of Passover, Unleavened Bread, and the Feast of First Fruits. And this is the travesty that has happened in bringing in all these pagan sun god worship festivals, is that we've lost track of what the Bible teaches us.
I must ask you, was Jesus born on December 25th?
December 25th is the birthday of Tammuz, the illegitimate child of Semiramis, who became Easter, who is the wife of Nimrod. It is all Babylonian sun god worship, December 25th.
But you maybe look he in was history, born on December 25th, was he?
No, it was Tishri 15, and Tishri 15 is the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. The first day of the Feast of Sukkot or Tabernacles, when the Word was made flesh and tabernacled among us.
That even
the
scripture sounds says, better.
Yes, he was actually born in a tabernacle. The word manger in the Hebrew is the word tabernacle. And it was during the Feast of Tabernacles, and that was the time set aside for the Word of God becoming flesh, that God became flesh and dwelt among us. That is that very holiday that each year we celebrate, and it's the most exciting time of the year. But see, in the East, we all know that Ra, the Egyptian sun god, his birthday is December 25th. Tammuz, the Babylonian sun god, December 25th. Mithra, the Roman sun god, December 25th. You can look this up in the Encyclopedia Britannica. Everyone over there knows that is the birthday of the sun god. But after the Tower of Babel, the language is being confused. Sun god worship got spread all over the world. The names of the gods were changed a little bit, but all of the worship ceremonies stayed the same.
But why did we incorporate this paganism into Christianity?
Well, Constantine did it. Constantine was attempting to build not only a world empire,
but a world religion.
But
wait a second, they did some of this before Constantine even.
Well, that's true. Constantine brought it all into Christianity, but we see that it was all part of pagan sun god worship that had completely permeated the world, and that's what God told Israel. He separated a people and said, I want you to be my priest, I want you to be a holy set-apart people, and I want you to expunge pagan sun god worship from this parcel of land, from the Euphrates River to the Nile. I want it completely expunged, I want you set apart, and to keep my feast three times a year. And when you get that taken care of, then he would send us as priests to the whole world to instruct the entire world to come out from pagan sun god
worship. If that's not reason enough to understand, I mean, the whole future of understanding when the Messiah is going to return is wrapped up into not the pagan festivals and not the traditional festivals. It's not even the Bible festivals. It is the Bible festival. It's not even that. You know what God says in the Bible? He calls them my feasts. There's something very holy about this. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
What does this year, 2019, hold for you and your loved ones? A lot of prophecy today is centered on gloom and doom. Yet God is ready to pour out His Spirit for the greatest revival the world has ever experienced. Get ready to be encouraged, have your faith in God restored, and begin to access the blessings and promises God has for you and your family in 2019. Hear from 20 of the most accurate prophetic voices of our time concerning what is about to happen concerning America, Israel, and the nations of the world in 2019. Call now and get the 2019 Prophetic Outlook Package, which includes the book Prophetic Words for 2019 and this exclusive three-part audio CD set, Aligning Yourself with God's Prophetic Outlook, which is jam-packed with prophecy from Cindy Jacobs, Larry Sparks, and Hank Kuhneman. This is exclusive for our It's Supernatural audience. Yours for a donation of $35. Shipping and handling is included. Ask for offer number 9597. Through this powerful book, you will hear from 17 dynamic prophets of our time, including James Gall, Bill Hammond, Lana Vosser, Patricia King, Robert Henderson, Adam Thompson, Rich Vera, and so many more. Prophetic words contained on these pages include, this will be a year of God outreaching His arm to the church to deliver you. Two great unseen powers will be clashing, freedom and fear. Much flooding will be experienced in America from record rainfall. Chechnya and Northern Caucasus will become a hotbed for radical Islamic terrorism. Terror attacks will affect Egypt, Syria, and Israel. Government corruption and manipulation will be exposed, and there will be a shaking in America. Under the presidency of Donald Trump, believers will live in a season of grace and favor as a result of his support for the church and Israel. You will also receive this exclusive three-part audio CD set, Aligning Yourself with God's Prophetic Outlook. Three powerful revelatory audio CDs, one by Cindy Jacobs, one by Hank Kuhneman, and one by Larry Sparks. Some of the prophetic words included on these CDs are, this will be a transition year, a bridge year. You must understand 2019, so you will be aligned and positioned for 2020. The time for delay is over. Breakthrough is in your immediate future. We have entered into a new era of divine surprises. Do not misread the signs, because some may look like a setback, but God is doing a divine setup, a divine surprise. On this audio CD set, Cindy Jacobs unveils what she shared at the recent Global Prophetic Summit. Powerful prophetic words are decreed and declared over you on these CDs. Don't miss out on getting the 2019 Prophetic Outlook Package, which includes the book, Prophetic Words for 2019, and this exclusive three-part audio CD set, Aligning Yourself with God's Prophetic Outlook, which is jam-packed with prophecy from Cindy Jacobs, Larry Sparks, and Hank Kuhneman. This is exclusive for our rich supernatural audience. Yours for a donation of $35. Shipping and handling is included. Ask for offer number 9597. Call or you can send your check to Sid Roth. It's Supernatural. P.O. Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina 28278. Please specify offer number 9597 or log on to SidRoth.org. Call or write today.
Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. I'm here with Rabbi Michael Rood. We're finding out, we're getting some rude awakenings. Before we go back to Michael, let's go to Janie in the control room. Janie, were you shocked to hear that the days of the week are named after pagan gods and Jesus wasn't even born on December 25th and all of these things?
It's like all the things that we were taught for years has been one big lie.
And one of the Ten Commandments is, don't lie, you won't go to heaven. But who's our guest next week?
Bob and Lillian Old, and Bob is Lillian's father. And Lillian was in the worst car accident. The skin was ripped off of her back. She had brain damage, her brain swelled, everything. She was in a coma. And her father heard supernaturally the day and the hour that she would come out of that coma.
Out of curiosity, from what I understand, her father didn't move in this realm, was not used to things like words of knowledge and God coming to him.
And this is the event that made him all of a sudden start seeing the supernatural of God, even after the supernatural happened with his daughter.
Sounds exciting. Here with Rabbi Michael Rood. And well, here's what I really want to know, Michael. For you, what do you feel like when you and your family observe one of God's festivals, like, say, the Sabbath? Now, I know that this has nothing to do in reference with salvation. I know this has nothing to do with righteousness, but what do you do on a Friday night?
Well, Sid, the Sabbath day is one of the rehearsals that is spoken of in the 23rd chapter of Leviticus. And each one of the feasts of the Lord are, as it says, they are holy convocations, or Kadosh Mikra. They are holy rehearsals of good things to come. And every week, the Sabbath day is a rehearsal of when the Messiah reigns upon the earth. And it is our preparation beforehand so that everyone can rest on that day. No one has to worry. work. No dishes have to be washed. No food has to be prepared. It's all done ahead of time so that we can enter into that rest which God has given to us right from the beginning of time. In Genesis, He has promised us that day, and when we enter into it, it's that one day that we can tell the world we don't need their money, their entertainment, we don't need their problems. We can rest because our God is our sufficiency. He takes care of us, and He is faithful to His word. That's one of the things He said we could prove Him on concerning the Sabbath day, and it has been such a blessing to my family. I can do nothing but encourage everyone to involve themselves, fully immerse themselves in God's Sabbath. There's nothing wrong with worshiping on every day of the week. We ought to worship on every day of the week, but God says on the Sabbath, keep it holy and rest that day, because that's a day that God set aside to meet with His people. And that is something I would not trade for anything, even though Constantine said everyone will rest on the venerable day of the sun because he was a worshiper of Sol Invictus.
No, it had to do with the resurrection of Jesus. It didn't have to do with the sun god.
Well, that is the excuse that's given nowadays, but Constantine didn't use that excuse. He said everyone's resting on the day of Mithra anyway, so we're going to have that day set aside. And we see that even as far as the day of the death, the burial and resurrection of the Messiah, they didn't take place on the traditional calendar of the days they say it anyway. Easter and Easter Sunday many times is an entire month away from Passover, because they have nothing to do with each other, Sid. Easter is the worship of a pagan sun god, and Passover is the worship of the true God, and all of the shadow pictures embedded in the spring feast of the Lord, the Messiah fulfilled each one of these to the very day, the very hour, the exact moment, and every detail in which we had been rehearsing them as a nation for hundreds and hundreds of years.
But the thing that's exciting to me, Michael, is the future is in these festivals.
That's right. And Sid, when we read the Gospels, we seldom, unless we're taught the Feast of the Lord, we don't recognize that the Gospels detail the Messiah fulfilling the spring Feast of the Lord. But the book of Revelation is the Messiah fulfilling the fall Feast of the Lord. And unless we understand the fall Feast of the Lord, there is no way that we can understand the book of Revelation. It remains an indecipherable time warp continuum to the Western Gentile Christian mind, because we have been separated from the Feast of the Lord. But that is not what God's plan was. He did not want His people to be contaminated with sun god worship. In fact, He said, do not learn the way of the heathen. Do not learn how they worship and serve their gods and do the same thing and say you're doing it to me. He says it is an abomination. It is utterly detestable, repugnant, putrid, and vile.
Rabbi Rood, I have a question. I have a question for you. Do you think it was just a coincidence that when you study the life of Jesus, you find that more miracles occurred on the Shabbat or the Sabbath than any other day? Remember now, I'm not getting legalistic on you. I mean, God hates legalism. I'm just saying there are keys to mysteries that should not be mysteries to His children. Besides that, how are we going to provoke Jewish people to jealousy? By pagan festivals? Or by Jewish festivals that happen to be biblical festivals that happen to be God's feasts? And how about impregnating them with the Spirit of God? And how about having the supernatural become natural at biblical festivals? And how about Jew and Gentile coming together and becoming one new man in Jesus and causing the power we read about in the Bible to be manifest in this life now? If not now, when? The traditional rabbis say we're in the times of Jacob's trouble. We must have the power now, because there are people that must know God. It's time for you to know God. It's time for you to say, Jesus, I repent of my sins. Wash them away. I make you my Messiah and Lord, because I believe.